Father, thank you for giving us guidance for real life. Thank you that your word is tangible day in and day out with what we need to bear your image here on earth, to show the light of Christ. So Father, today I ask that your word would speak truth to each one of our hearts, that we'd fall more deeply in love with you and be more intimate this week than we were last, because your word just comes alive. Father, would you help your word one of our lives. We love you and we want to know you more. It's for your name's sake that we ask all this. Amen. Before I start off today, I desperately want to thank this whole church body for coming together around the work that the Lord did this summer through missions. Last time I was up here, I asked you about setting your alarms, those little things on your phone, for 10:02. You can officially turn those off now. We have had our mission work, and it was phenomenal. But that was really because of you guys. I asked you about Luke chapter 10, verse 2, seeing if you guys knew that the Lord there tells his disciples to earnestly beseech the Lord of the harvest to thrust out his workers into the harvest field. I said, would you guys pray every day at 10:02, either a.m. or p.m. if you're a night owl? And you guys did a phenomenal job. Just last week, we got to see what all the team from Costa Rica did, and it was phenomenal, even seeing, after 2 years, the work that has continued, that the Lord has continued to do there. And imagine what He's going to do with the seeds that were planted this year. Thank you guys so much for praying for an amazing time for that Costa Rica trip, because from what we heard, the Lord came through in awesome ways. And then on personal notes, I want to thank you for praying for the YWAM mission trip. It was incredible. I see a smiling face already. A few. The Lord did phenomenal things through the youth that got to go. We got to see people put their faith in Jesus, even at a carnival ride. We got to see people rededicate their lives at a Dunkin' Donuts. Guys who had walked away from the faith and then heard the gospel again and said, I want to give the whole of my life to the Lord once again. It was incredible. And then watching the team bond together was just phenomenal. So thank you for praying for that trip. And then on a personal note, for my Philippines mission trip, I've talked to a few of you here and there about what all the Lord did, but it was incredible. And I want to give you guys three highlights so that you know what you've been praying for has come through in some really sweet ways. One, between the three teams that went, about 60 Americans, we were divided up into three islands. And the island that I was on only had about 6 Americans. But collectively, during the 2 weeks I was there, we saw nearly 700,000 people give their lives to Jesus. Yeah. It was incredible. In fact, my second highlight was one chance that I got to preach the gospel, if you could cue up the slide, to a school of 12,000 people all at once. Imagine from like that building over there all the way to the highway filled with people and getting to be in front of them, sharing the gospel, them hearing it for the first time, and then them responding. As you see, when I say, how many of you put your faith in Jesus? You heard the gospel message. You've heard what God has done for you. How many of you just put your faith in Jesus? And this is the response. 12,000. Incredible. These are like numbers that you read in the book of Acts that you don't think still happens today. It does. And then my favorite part, the third highlight for me, was when I was in the Philippines, I got to spend a sweet time at the orphanage. Mr. Tebow has an orphanage there where he takes children who have been left and abandoned, gives them a home here, an eternal home by sharing the gospel with them. So these kids and I were there together, but I was also there with my best friend, my mom, the one who picked me up out of jail, the one who showed me what grace is, what tangible faithfulness and discipline are, the one who showed me what it looks like to actually be a Christian throughout my whole life. And I get to sit next to her and sing, Bless the Lord, O my soul, with orphans who have a forever home, and with my best friend. It was truly incredible. So, the backbone to all that was that 10:02 prayer. So it couldn't have been done without you guys. So I really do say thank you to each one of you for setting your alarms for 10:02, that awkward time, allowing it to go off and praying, because the Lord did awesome things. And in fact, that's what our message is going to be about today, is seeing the Lord work him in to your prayer life. But before we get started on the text, before we dive in, I have a question for you guys out there in the audience. How many of you guys are kids who are currently in college or have ever gone away to college? How many parents of college students do we have? See a few hands over there. Yep. Okay, how many students have ever gone away to college? How many of you guys have ever been in college? If you've ever been a parent of a college student or ever gone to college, a few more hands. Okay, so my question to you guys is, when your child has been away for maybe a few weeks or a few months, maybe even a few years, and you see that they are calling you, you get that phone call, are they calling you because they want to see how you're doing? They want to check in on how your week's been going and how your work is doing. They just want to call just to hear your voice, don't they? You guys are laughing. No. College students call their parents when? They need something. Yep. Andy, you're an exception to that rule. Generally speaking, when college students are giving their parents a phone call, it's because they need something. Mom! Might I add, best mom in the world. What do you need? My tires are looking a little bald and I might need one or two or four. Could I borrow your credit card? Or, Papa Bear! Dad, you know I've been working super hard at that part-time job and working really hard at my grades too. But my friends have been going out to eat all the time, and I don't want to be left behind. So I've been going out to eat and spending a lot of money on food, and I was wondering if you could help me with rent this month and maybe next month as well. We all know what that's like. In fact, it doesn't have to be a college student. We all might have that person in our life, that family friend or that brother or sister or that relative, who when we see our phone light up with their name, we know something is about to be asked of us. I see a lot of smiles because a lot of people have those people in their lives, huh? We know that's coming. But my question for us today is, does our prayer life reflect that of a college student's phone log to his parents or her parents? Do we intimately spend time with the Lord and just want to hear from His voice? Or, more often than not, do we run to Him when we have something too big for us to handle? Do we go to Him once a week? Or we might be good Christians here. We might pray over each meal every day, three times a day. Snacks don't count. We don't have to pray over snacks. But each major meal throughout the day, we're good Christians. We pray three times a day. Here in America and in the American church in general, we treat God like a spiritual Santa Claus. We really do, if we're honest. Throughout the week, do we really go to Him? Do we invite Him into every aspect of our life? Or do we call on Him when we need something, like a college student? So what we're going to do today is look at an amazing example from the Scriptures. David's life. Now you see, David is set in a narrative. And narratives give characters that you're supposed to look at and judge your own life by. Some of these have big pitfalls and you're supposed to say, I never want to be like that. But others show what it looks like to live a godly lifestyle. And you say, how am I doing there? How does my life reflect that person in their godliness? So we're going to dive into David's life today. We're going to see what it looks like to have an authentic prayer life throughout the week, inviting the Lord into our whole entire life, even the messes that we don't want to invite other people into, and watching Him go to work. So if you'll open your Bibles with me, this is a huge chapter. I wish I could put it all up on the screen, but 51 verses doesn't fit. So, if you have your Bibles or your phones or something that you can go through and look at the Scriptures with me, we're going to be going throughout the Scriptures today. So, if you have a Bible, please open it with me to 2 Samuel 22. And since this is such a long passage, I'm going to break it up into three segments. The first thing we're going to look at in an authentically good prayer life is what it looks like to invite the Lord into every scenario of your life. What it looks like to have open hands throughout a day and say, Lord, You're invited in. And then when you do that, you will see the majority of 2 Samuel 22 is the Lord responding in awesome ways.
And when you see the Lord come through and you see that He is faithful with your heart, how can you help but praise Him? The natural response. So, we'll dive right into this first section. If you'll look with me at 2 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 7, we're going to look at David reflecting back on his life. We're going to see that he is calling out to the Lord saying, "You came through when I called upon you." So let's read that together, the first 7 verses. David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock, He is my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, He is my refuge and my Savior. From violent men you saved me." Here's the kicker. "I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and have been saved from my enemies. The waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me, and the snares of death confronted me. Again, in my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From His temple, He heard my voice. My cry came to His ears." You see, David sets the standard pretty high. Within these first 7 verses, 3 times, David is inviting the Lord into his situation. Here specifically, he is dealing with people who are coming about him. The enemy is coming right at him. And what does he do? Does he get his military men around him and fight them first and foremost? No, the first thing that David does, he invites the Lord into his daily life. He says, "Lord, I'm crying out to you. You are my first priority, not my last resort." And just to kind of hammer this point home, once again, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be flipping a lot. I want to show you that David's life models this. This song that David wrote just reflects his life time and time again. So if you guys will flip back in the same book, 2 Samuel chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. King Saul, if you guys know the story, King Saul has been wiped off the map. And David, the anointed king, could rightfully go take his place as king. But what does he do? Chapter 2, verse 1. "In the course of time, David inquired of the Lord, 'Shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah?' he asked." The Lord said, "Go." David asked, "Where shall I go?" And the Lord responded, "Go to Hebron." So David went. You see, David's in this scenario where he says, "Lord, I don't know where my 2 feet need to go next. You're invited into this space. I need you even for the day-to-day life of what do I do next, Lord?" So what's cool is that we saw this in his song. He's calling out to the Lord there, but this is his habit. This is his lifestyle of inviting the Lord into his daily life. And to show it again, if you flip over to chapter 5, about maybe 2 pages over to the right, now that David is king in verse 17, he is confronted by his enemies right in front of his face. Chapter 5, verse 17 says, "When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out of the valley of Rephaim." So David, what does he do? Does he go fight right back? He has been attacked, so he's going to attack right back? No. Verse 19, "So David inquired of the Lord, 'Shall I go attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?' And then the Lord answered and said to him, 'Go, for I surely will deliver the Philistines into your hands.' So David went." You see, David was not a rash man like King Saul, the other person in this narrative, who just made decisions like this. He saw something coming up. He saw a deadline coming up, and he went just full force at it. David, his first instinct is to invite the Lord into that scenario, into his life. And once again, I know this point has probably been made, but if you just look 5 verses down from there, verse 22, it says, "Once more the Philistines came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim." So David knows what to do this time, right? He gets his military men and goes, fights them. No. So David inquired of the Lord. He invited him into that space. And the Lord answered, "Don't go straight up this time, but circle around behind them and attack them in front of the poplar trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the poplar trees, move quickly. because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine armies. So David did as the Lord commanded. His first priority every single time was to get on his knees in day-to-day life and say, Lord, you're invited in. I need you. I need you in this circumstance. Is that our first priority? Is that what we do first? When we have a headache, do we go to the Lord first or do we go to the medicine cabinet instantly? When we have a conflict with someone, do we fight or flee or do we invite the Lord into that space? David's model is beautiful. And in fact, this is also a New Testament truth. Many of you guys know the verse in Revelation chapter 3. Behold, I have stood at the door and I am knocking. If anyone might hear my voice and might open the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Now, probably most of us were raised on that being an evangelistic verse. You see, when you share the gospel with someone, Jesus is knocking on their heart and they can tell. But guys, Jesus is speaking to a church there, the church of Laodicea, believers. He's inviting them into fellowship. He's saying, guys, if you invite me in, I'm going to be right there with you. Invite me into every scenario of your life. Make me your most intimate friend. So what David models is then solidified as a New Testament truth as well. So my question is, do we invite the Lord into every aspect of our day-to-day life? Do we invite Him in first? I had to learn this the hard way. When I went to the Philippines my second time in 2013, Mr. Tebow sent me down to the Southern Islands, Mindanao. And it was just me and one other American who were there for a week. And on the second day, I decided it would be a good idea to clog our toilet. Now, I know this is a weird sermon illustration, but roll with it. It gets good. So I am sitting there plunging the toilet for 10 minutes, literally 10 minutes, and in my frustration and in my shame, I have to hang my head low and walk out to Jeff and say, Jeff, I think we're going to be using the 24-hour bathroom outside from now on. And Jeff goes, Jake, do you mind if I try? That's a strange question. Sure, you can go plunge the toilet I clogged. Weirdest question, I thought. But before Jeff did, he prayed over my clogged toilet. Jeff invited the Lord into that scenario where I was just getting so frustrated and angered because I was trying to do it in my own strength. Jeff invited the Lord in, and within seconds of him plunging, that toilet was clean as can be. And I thought to myself, how could I not invite the Lord in? If he's going to pray over my toilet, of course I'm going to invite the Lord into every scenario of my life. Do we do that? Is the Lord our first priority, just as David models for us here? And just as this song reflects, I called upon the Lord, I called upon the Lord, just like we just sang, as Jason just led us. What a friend we have in Jesus to take everything to Him in prayer. Do we do that? Because when we do, I want us to flip back to chapter 22. That's where we're going to spend the rest of our time. We're going to see that the majority of what happens in this is that the Lord responds in awesome ways. When David invites the Lord into his scenario, his day-to-day life, the Lord comes through in amazing ways. So if you have your Bible and you're able to flip along with me, I'm going to read some of these verses. Once again, 51 verses and 30 minutes don't fit well together. So I'm going to skip around here, but I'm going to start in verse 31. Once David invited the Lord in, and the Lord came through, he said, as for God, His way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in Him. For who is God besides the Lord, and who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and causes me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You, O Lord, make your saving help my shield. Your help has made me great. Verse 40. You armed me with strength for battle. You humbled my adversaries. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight, and I destroyed my foes. And then verse 44. You have delivered me from the attacks of the people. You have preserved me as the head of nations. People I don't know now serve me. Where David was in fear and anguish and anxiety before, in the first 7 verses, he says, I invited the Lord into those spaces, and when I reflected on all He did, it was miraculous. Did you guys catch those pronouns?
I tried to emphasize them. He did this for me.
He did this through me. He did this with me. Now, what's really cool is that some commentators have noted that David's life, you don't see a whole lot of miracles. You don't see supernatural events like you did in Moses' life or in Elijah's life. David's life looks pretty natural, but what we just read is David recounting the supernatural work of the Lord when he is
invited in. David's life
reflects the Lord's working through him in awesome ways. It's incredible. You made my enemies turn. You armed me with strength. He recounts everything the Lord did as a supernatural event that God worked through him and for him when he invited him into that space. And once again, the question is posed. If I were to ask you about your week, last week, could you tell me stories like this? Could you tell me of events where you invited the Lord into your day-to-day situation, your frustrations, your shame, your hurt, your anxiety, your relational troubles, and you can sing a song like this of what the Lord has done? My roommate John can. In fact, this is so cool.
Some of the youth
were there at the worship night that we had two Fridays ago, when we just wanted to invite the Lord into the semester. We said, Lord, this is your semester. So we started off, my roommate John came and played guitar for us and led us in worship music. And then we all spent time alone with the Lord, reflecting on our own emotions and our own heart. And then we did communion, and at the end, in vulnerability, we shared what we need to see the Lord come through on. My roommate, John, said, guys, my mom's been out of work for quite some time. She's been unemployed, and I haven't seen the Lord come through in quite some time in our life, our family's life. She needs a job. I need to see the Lord come through in this way. So we got to pray over John. And then we finished out the night, and as good college students do, we went and we spent our parents' money on food, of course. So John and I were out at Popeye's after this when John looks down at his wristwatch and his eyes light up and he gets a text from his mom, in which I want you guys to read the text. I don't know if you guys can see that. Can we hit some lights in the back really quick? I hope that's big enough. It says, here, let me read it to you guys if you can't see it.
Hello, mijo. I just now got a call, and I got the job at the tech center, at the tech club, and I start on Monday.
How cool is that? John was vulnerable with us and with the Lord, and he said, I need the Lord to come through. I haven't seen him come through in my life in quite some time, and this is hard to say, but my mom's been out of work for a while, but I need the Lord to come through, and he did in a miraculous way. The Lord worked within an hour of us praying over this. He got a text, and we sang the Lord's praises the whole way home. And in fact, that's what we should do. When we see the Lord come through, our third point for today, and our final thing, verse 50. When David saw the Lord come through with his vulnerable heart, what did David do in verse 50? Therefore, I will praise you, Lord. Among the nations, I will sing the praises of your name. How incredible. And how natural. Think about this. When you have been vulnerable and exposed your heart to the Lord, and he meets you with comfort and encouragement, oh, how joyful is your heart. And when you expose your weaknesses and say, Lord, I am a broken vessel. I need you to come through in these ways. And he shows his strength through you and for you. How can you not help but sing to him the wonders of what he did, and tell everyone around you what the Lord did for you and for your family like John got to do? And in fact, think about this in a more natural way. The Cowboys are about to start up pretty soon, right? Think about this for you football fans. When you're watching Dak Prescott there, and it's the fourth quarter, Cowboys are down by 4, and they have the ball, 10 seconds left. Dak gets the ball. He looks around, and he fires a dart right into the end zone. Touchdown, Cowboys win. What are you going to do the whole next week? You're going to talk to everyone you know about that play and sing Dak Prescott's praises to everyone you know. I know you will, Sean.
I know it's
coming. Because your hope and your expectations have been put in something and they have been met. The same way with the Lord. When you put your hope and your expectations, when you invite Him in to everyday scenarios, and you see Him meet them in miraculous ways as David did, your heart is going to be so encouraged that you can't help but sing the praises of the Lord and tell others of what He did, just as David did here. And I may have stolen this scenario from C.S. Lewis. He says it actually better than I do. So if we could throw up that C.S. Lewis quote up here. Once again, I want to read this to you. He says, "The most obvious fact about praise, whether of God or anything, strangely escaped me. I thought of it in terms of compliment, approval, or the giving of honor. I have never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise. The world rings with praise. Readers praise their favorite poet. Walkers praise the countryside. Players praising their favorite game. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation." He hit the nail on the head. And once again, when you invite the Lord into all those scenarios and you see Him come through time and time again, this church is going to be a church of praise, authentic and real praise, singing to the Lord of what He has done. So we don't just come in here on Sunday morning and sing the songs because they're on the screen. We sing the songs because our God has come through in miraculous ways. So I want this church to be a church that doesn't look like college students phoning their parents, but rather a church that models after David's life. A church that looks like people who invite the Lord into every aspect and scenario of life. Watch Him come through in miraculous and awesome ways. And then naturally, a church that explodes in praise and delight in our Lord for what He has done for our hearts. So as we finish today, as we finish this sermon, I want to give you some practical tools that have really helped me. First of all, Jason and the worship team did an amazing job leading us in songs that just invite the Lord in. And as we finish today, we're going to sing some more of those songs. We're going to really reflect, and I want you to meditate on these words. One of them is, "Lord, teach my song to rise to You when temptation comes my way." You see, the first one you go to when you're tempted. Or, and another song we'll sing is, "Lord, I called and You answered and You came to my rescue." Because He does. We see it in David's life. We've seen it in our own lives. And in fact, the second thing that I want you guys to do tangibly that has helped me out a ton, and it's nothing new. It's what Christians have done for centuries. In fact, David did it with the Psalms. Write down your heart. Get a prayer journal where you can authentically let your heart express itself. Writing down your fears, your anxieties, those deadlines that come up, your relational hurts, where you can authentically expose those before the Lord and be real and vulnerable. And watch Him come through and check those off one after the other and say, "Lord, You came through in miraculous ways here and here and here." And as a way to remember all those, something that I've been doing as well that you guys saw is taking pictures. So that when you're going back through your photos, you see where the Lord has come through and your heart can't help but once again tell people, "Guys, let me show you this picture really quick. That time that my friend John and his mom were out of work and he needed to see the Lord, let me show you this." Sing His praises yet again. Have these tangible things that you can keep as reminders of how good our God is and how He's going to come through for you. He loves you guys so much. So I will pray and invite the worship team to come up and just prepare your heart to really, we have some extra time here, some extended time for you to just sit and meditate on the Lord and just sing these songs authentically to Him. So would you join me as we close in prayer? Father, thank You for being faithful with our hearts. You take a broken heart and You show Your strength through us and with us and for us. God, You are so cool in all of Your ways. Lord, help us to invite You into every scenario of day-to-day life. Would You be our first priority this week where we don't run to our broken cisterns and we don't make You a last resort. We don't phone You only when we need You for something that's too big for us. But Lord, we are constantly inviting You into our real lives, just as David modeled for us. Lord, would You help us and remind us of how good You are?
Would you come through time and time again so our natural response is to want to come to you and spend time with you? Father, we love you and we're so grateful. Lord, would you make this church a church of authentic praise that wants to sing of you, to you and to the nations, for what you have done and what you continue to do in our lives. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.